Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. It's a real pleasure to be with you again this week. And I pray that you all had an enjoyable weekend, both you that are joining us through television and those that are here in the studio today. Hope you had an enjoyable weekend and that you spent that weekend in a time of prayer and in closeness to the Lord. To be very honest with you, my heart is very heavy as I come before you today because I have spent this weekend literally before the Lord in just every moment that I could spare. And God has not ceased to show me the condition of His church, the shape that His church is in. And literally it has come to a point where it has almost driven me to tears. In fact, a couple of times it has. You know, the Word of God speaks of the great apostasy, the falling away, when many will abandon the faith and draw unto themselves a multitude of teachers to say what their itching ears are so anxious to hear, whether it makes any sense or not. And I know this weekend alone, just in the town that I live in, they had a so-called religious revival. You know, I don't know how many people really understand it, but to begin with, the word religion, just the word religion, the very word, look it up sometime. It means searching. People who are in religion are still searching. They haven't found Christ yet. I know people, and I have watched them this weekend, who have been in the church 20 years. And they have not managed to find the Lord Jesus Christ yet. They're still acting as baby Christians. They're still acting like they just came into the church last week. But that isn't the sad part of it. The sad part of it is the doctrine of demons that is being preached. We must remember that the latter rain, the time in which we live, that rain, that causes the saints of God to grow, but it also causes the weeds, the tares, to grow with it. And for every good thing I see happening today, I see the devil bringing a counterfeit of it someplace. In church, we need discernment. I know I've said this before, I want to say it again. I'd rather make you mad or glad, but I want you to hear it. You have to hear it. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care. If I didn't love you, we wouldn't spend this much money. We wouldn't go on TV. I wouldn't bring the message of Christ if I didn't care. But the love of Christ within me constrains me and makes me do it. Church, if we have to, we need to get on our knees before God together and in private. And we need to say, God, take away every gift you've given us. Take away the miracles. Take away the healing. Take away every gift you've given us. But God, in your love and in your mercy, return unto your church, return unto us discernment. Discernment that we can tell the difference between the real and the false. Between the holy and the profane. Between that which is of God and that which is not. There's no new thing. It's all right here. It hasn't changed any. And the people who are preaching this stuff cannot prove it by Scripture. But they don't have to. They don't even lift up the Bible. They don't open a Bible. Spend an entire weekend in a so-called revival. They never open the Word of God. There's nothing taught from the Word of God. What we have is a bunch of celebrities that bring entertainment. I'm not going to bring you any entertainment. I'm going to bring you the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to show you that it is a continuous flow throughout the Word, that I have not taken it out of context, that I am not trying to prove any particular doctrine for my sake. I've said this before, church, and I say it again. We are not looking for the last days. We're looking at the last days. I heard somebody the other day say, we have yet left to see the great apostasy, the great falling away. I wanted to cry. I said, my God, my brother, where have you been? Have you not looked at the church in the last 15, 20 years? Have you not seen the sex scandals, the money scandals, and all of the rest of it? Church, let me tell you something. Satan did not reveal all that. It wasn't Satan who brought it forth. It was God. God revealed it. God is pulling back the curtain. What does the word of the Lord say? Judgment begins at the house of God. People start putting little receivers in their ear. And they have the people come in the audience and fill out these little cards of what their name is and where they live. And then their wife takes the cards to a little secret booth someplace and they have a transmitter. And she transmits down to her husband. And then he's supposed to go, oh, I got this word from God. Let me see, it's Anderson, is it? And finally somebody went in with the electronic equipment and they started to listen. And they said, boy, that voice of God sounds just like the voice of his wife. You all know who I'm talking about. He stopped that and he left TV. Oh, for a period of a few months. And now he's back. And I guess this is the part that bothers me. He's making more money today than he was when I threw him off. We spend more money in the United States on dog food than we do on evangelism. You tell me you're waiting for Christ? You're spending $1,000 a year to get your stupid little poodle clipped and trimmed and dyed and colored and everything else? And you're digging up $1 and $2 bills for the missionary work that goes on? You'd be waiting a long time for Christ. You better save your money. You're going to need it. You and Fido will still be here. Use some discernment, church. It is time for the church of Jesus Christ to come into a place of repentance. Have we forgotten the Scripture? That plainly says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord, woman or child. There is a lack of holiness within the church that I have never seen in the last 30, 35 years. People have no fear of God anymore. They don't want to learn about God. They don't want to be taught the Word. They want to be entertained. Seems to me that as I watched this little, or not little, it was quite a large convention that we had in the town I live in. And I won't even mention the name of the flim-flam artists that were there that led the thing. But they had some of the most unbelievable word of faith doctrine I've ever heard in my life. When is it going to dawn on you that the only one getting rich on that is the guy you're sending the money to? He's living in a $5 million home and flying from place to place on a Learjet. One of the guys had bought 3 Learjets in the past few years on your money. He's buying Learjets and you're taking care of Fido. But yet the person or the family that's over in Africa living in a mud hut to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its truth have to get by on the few dollars of the very, very few of the remnant that will hear from God. As I've shared with you before, and as you well know, the people that watch our ministry, we don't take an offering. We've never taken an offering. And although we have a multitude of tapes, videos, and books, We have never sold one, and we never will. We give them totally free to anybody who writes in or sends an email or calls, whatever, and asks for them. We will send them out free. Any teaching they want. Because I believe the Word of God. The Word of God says, freely you have received, now freely give. Freely give. I believe that God is able to speak unto those that He would have support this work. When the Lord called Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts, did He not say unto the church, separate Paul and Barnabas whereunto the work that I have called them? God spoke to that church and said, I have called them to go do this work. Read it! And what did the church do? They fasted and prayed and they sent out Paul and Barnabas, and you and I both know they had all their needs met before they left that church. They had all their needs met that they were going to need on that missionary trip before they even left. That wouldn't happen today. The apostles ran into the man who was sick and laying on his mat, and they said, gold and silver have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and be healed. How many pastors do you know today who can walk up to anybody, any hospital, anywhere, and say, gold and silver have I not? I got a $5 million Learjet parked up at the airport. I live in a $6-7 million mansion that I'm only there a few days a year at. Do you honestly believe that if Jesus was here today, that's the way He would be living? Stop and think about it. If we could pass a law today that said that no preacher of the gospel, no preacher, man, woman, could receive a salary from that church, he didn't get his name up on the marquee, he didn't get any fame and glory, he couldn't have all the disgusting things they do before he gets out there to preach, how many preachers do you think we'd have tomorrow? Especially if the law also said, God forbid, that he'd have to go get a job. He'd have to support himself and his family and the ministry that God has called him to. How many preachers do you think we'd have tomorrow? I fear there'd be very few. We'd have Brother Wilkerson in New York. A few dozen others that I can think of around the country. That'd be about it. The rest of them would find a new profession. They'd be in PR work or movie stars or something. Well, that's what they think they are now. In fact, I agree with them. That's what they are now. Because that's about all it is. The apostasy, the falling away. Just for you that have not been to some of these so-called fire, I can't remember what the name of this particular revival was, some ludicrous thing. Like, if you put the sign out there that you're having revival this week, that makes it mandatory upon God to show up and do miracles. You know, you really think that sign brings in the Holy Spirit? Give me a break. Revival comes through the effectual prayer of the righteous, of the saints of God, who will get down and pray and cry out unto the Lord for it. And then shall come revival. The apostasy, the falling away, that started a long time ago. And I believe, this is my personal belief, I believe that that is just beginning to wrap up. I believe it's just beginning to wrap up. I have some very, very dear brothers in the Lord, in what used to be the USSR. They don't seem to be quite sure what they are over there from day to day anymore. But I correspond with them regularly, once or twice a week. And I know the miracles that God is doing down in the Ukraine, in that area, in the third world countries that we have been into for the last 30 years. There are many powerful men and women of God that I correspond with on a regular basis. And in their poverty and in their hurt and in their pain and in the suffering that they're going through, God is moving in a very powerful way. You may have forgot what a real miracle is. The greatest miracle of God. And I'm not against miracles. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. As much as anybody, I love it when God does miracles. When He opens the eyes of the blind, I've seen it. I've been there. I've prayed for Him. I've seen it happen. When He opens the ears of the deaf, I get as excited as anybody. But the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. The saving of a soul. That's the greatest miracle that God does. And don't let anybody tell you you can't lose it. Because God has something else to say about it. I'm going to start a series today called Christianity versus the Law. And I plead with you to be with us throughout this week that you might hear the entire series. I plead with you to write down the scriptures, to read them, to study them, to look at them. I'm not going to entertain you. I'm going to give you the truth from the Word of God. Some of these scriptures are very heavy. But we're talking about an eternal situation. This is not a light subject. We're talking about the difference between heaven and hell. We're talking about an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or God forbid, an eternity in hell. Suffering, pain, and misery. Beyond what your mind was created to comprehend. You know, so many times I've looked at the scripture, and it says that multitudes will come to Jesus, and He will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." They are so convinced, so positive, and right now, out there through television land, there are thousands or millions of you listening to me. And you're saying to yourself, "That's not me, that's somebody else." Well, let me tell you, there's millions that are going to stand before Christ, and they are so positive of it, they're going to argue with Him. Can you imagine arguing with the living and almighty God? And they're going to say, "Oh no, Lord, there must be a mistake here. Don't you remember all the good works we've done in your name? Why, the prophecies we've given, the good works we've done, we fed the poor, we did these miracles, all these things. We had all these revivals. We brought in all these big name, disgraced, adulterous preachers. Don't you remember that, God?" He's going to say, "Oh, I remember every bit of it. That's why I say, away from me, I never knew you." You need discernment. Now, before anybody misunderstands me, I want to share with you that God is a forgiving God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you are. I don't care who you've been sleeping with. If you will go before God and you will repent, God will forgive you. He says, no matter how bad your sins are, though your sins be as scarlet, if you will come and repent before God, if you will turn, repent doesn't mean I feel bad because I got caught. I'll take the time to go into repentance during this series, but repentance is to literally turn around and go totally the other way. If you were a thief, for example, you don't steal anymore. Not only don't you steal, but you go out and get a job and you support yourself and you help other people also. You make a complete turnaround. You live exactly opposite of what it has been, and you walk in holiness before God. For no man shall see the Lord without holiness. And we have so very, very little of it today. It's very hard for me to remember the last time that I have seen repentance. That I have seen somebody openly, publicly repent. It happens. And thank God, church, it's happened a lot in this church. We've had a lot of our own people who have fallen under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they have got up and confessed the sin they have been involved in, both to man and to God. And they have asked to be forgiven by God and by the church. And God is merciful. He will forgive. He will pour out His forgiveness. There won't even be a carbon copy of it in heaven. Man is not so merciful. Sometimes over the years, many times, the Lord has shown me a particular sin that some member of the body will be in. And I don't want that brother or sister to be revealed. I don't want that to come out. And I will normally try first, if it's adultery, for example, I will minister on adultery 2 or 3 weeks in a row if I have to. I will just harp on it night and day. I'll give all the scriptures. I'll continually tell them that God knows what you're doing. He sees it. You're not hiding it from Him. And I've seen the power of God. I've seen the conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon them. I've seen them get up and weeping and crying come forth and repent before God. Sometimes it doesn't work. They won't do it. And I've had to go to them and talk to them. And sometimes that doesn't work. And I've had to rebuke them openly in the church. And a great deal of the time that doesn't work either. One Sunday, there was a brother and a sister right up in front of the church. They were in the first couple of pews. And they were listening intently and reading their Bibles, marking off with their little yellow pins the places to remember. And as I was ministering, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And He gave it to me in such a way that I knew He wanted me to speak it out publicly. And I stopped preaching and I asked the brother to stand, and he did. And I said, God has spoken to me that after this service today, you plan on leaving your wife and child and running away. And his wife looked up at him very quickly. He looked at her and he looked at me and, no, I don't know where you got that. And I said, if I have to, I'll come down and take the bus tickets out of your sweater pocket there and show them to your wife. At that point, he decided to come forward and to repent. And he began to weep and to cry and to share with the church. Some of you remember that. Over how hard it had been on him recently, what he had been through, and why he was about to commit this sin. And thank God he was restored and brought back into the fellowship. But without discernment, without the word of knowledge, without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our meetings, we can do nothing. Jesus said very plainly, without me, you can do nothing. You can hold a great PR weekend. And that's what they're doing. If you've ever been to one of those disgusting things, you've seen it, but under those who have been blessed if they haven't been there, let me give you an idea of what they go like. Long before the television cameras come on, as soon as they get the crowd in there and they get them seated, number one order of business. You guessed it. They take an offering. And then the music choir comes out and they play a few songs and they get some singer out there to do a few songs. And then they take a break. You guessed it. They take another offering. And then they finally, after about an hour and a half, they'll get around to introducing that speaker that night. And he comes out. Cameras aren't on yet. And he talks to the people for a few minutes, and he says, "Up here, I've got a Bible that we just put out, ministry just put out, with my name on it. Got my name on it. Now what I'm going to do is for each one that comes up for a $200 offering or a $500 offering to the ministry, we're going to give you one of these Bibles." Man, you wouldn't believe it. They fight each other to get up there and get in line. You think he was giving away free bus tickets to heaven? And he sells case after case after case. And then he says, when they've ran out of the Bibles, makes this grandstand, "All of the Bibles have been sold out, but very quickly, very, very quickly now, because it's late and I'm just about ready to start ministering, there's going to be many miracles here tonight. God's going to touch many people. For those of you who want to come up and give an offering of $25, God is going to touch many people tonight. I want you to know that. For those of you who are willing to come up here and for $25, Brother so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so, or some of them got so many degrees in front of their name you can't remember it, is going to shake your hand." Boy, and they're writing out them checks as fast as their little fingers will go. And run up there so this guy can kneel on the edge of the stage and shake their hand. I'd rather you'd bring up Fido and shake his hand. At least his hands are cleaner, they're not full of blood. And then finally, 2.5 hours later after this thing opened, the television cameras go on. The main Klieg lights go on. And guess what it is time to do now? Yeah, you've seen it. They're going to take another offering. We're like 6-7 offerings into this thing. Brothers and sister church, I know I took some time to get involved in this today, but it is so very, very important. And my heart is so heavenly burdened. I'm asking you to please, please pray with me that God would give you discernment, that He would give it to you in its fullness, that you might know the difference.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.